Good morning. Welcome everybody to our December 15th, 2015 Sussex County Council meeting. First thing is to approve the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. At this time, we have no changes to today's agenda.
Entertained a motion to approve the agenda.
Yes.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver, second, Mr. Arlett. Any questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried. We have the minutes of December the 8th. Any questions, corrections, concerns? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We have numerous letters from groups that the council has assisted. The first is Sussex Pregnancy Care Center, also from the Ronald McDonald House of Delaware, Delaware Hospice, Read Aloud Delaware, Easter Seals of Delaware, Bethel Helping Hands Food Bank, Cape Henlopen Senior Center, People's Place, Delaware SPCA. And that is all, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Any correspondence from council?
Yes, sir. I got a thank you from the Rehoboth Art League for the $1,000 donation that the council gave.
More correspondence from council? Public comment. Mr. Guy, anybody signed up? Thank you very much, sir. Paul Rieger.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Is what I like to, if this is the last meeting of the year, and I don't know when you do this or when you vote on it, is what I'd like to recommend, with as much as I've been trying to bring up for different discussions during council meetings and everything else like that, topics to come up that should be discussed. If going forward for 2016, if you can, just maybe things will be done a little differently or something. Maybe going forward, maybe next year, I don't know whether it's standard pro quo on your elections, but I would like to see going forward next year, maybe for just a little different direction and to get the discussions more on the agenda if possible, may or may not. Maybe Councilman Arlett could be president next year or something like that, that may shake it up a little bit and get a few more discussions. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Thank you. Dan Kramer.
My name is Dan Kramer. I'm going to tell you right out front, I'm not going to wish any one of you guys up here a Merry Christmas because you don't deserve it. First of all, I think we ought to fire the whole bunch of you, rehire you for half pay because you're late every cotton picking week and there's no excuse to come in here late. Oh, we don't care. We're elected. You know what? The peons out here, we don't got nothing. That don't matter to us. Now, also heard the other day that, oh, you gave the county employees a $750 bonus. Big deal. You sure didn't do them no favor by giving $750. If you wanted to do something really good, you'd have gave them a $750 raise. Then that would have counted something. But the only reason you gave them the bonus is because you're so scared that they're going to get more unions in there. That's why you're giving them the bonuses.
Thank you so much.
Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. First item of business is recognizing the Cape Henlopen High School field hockey team. I have a proclamation here that I'd like to read and would invite council to join the team down for a photo opportunity. A proclamation to honor the Cape Henlopen High School field hockey team upon winning the 2015 DIAA championship. Whereas the Sussex County Council wishes to recognize the Cape Henlopen High School field hockey team for winning the Delaware Interscholastic Athletic Association title as state champions for the 2015 season. The Cape Henlopen High School field hockey team capped yet another impressive season, beating Del Mar High School by a score of 3-1 during the state championship game on Saturday, November 21st, ending with a 19-0 record. The Cape field hockey team's accomplishment is the fifth consecutive state title for the school's field hockey program and seventh championship title for the school since 1979. Cape and Lipan High School field hockey team played as a formidable opponent facing squads from across Sussex County throughout the state of Delaware and the Mid-Atlantic region during the 2015 season, displaying cooperation, consistency, and character above all else. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council commends the Cape and Lipan High School field hockey team upon winning the 2015 DIAA championship title and proclaims Tuesday, December 15th as a day for all Sussex County residents to honor the team's remarkable achievement. Signed, Joan R. Deaver, Councilwoman. Congratulations, team, and congratulations, coaches. Please come on up for a photo opportunity. We're also joined by Deb Wendett and her daughter, Kate Wendett, coaches of the team.
Smile.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
5 years
in a row. That's right.
They know. I like that.
It is certainly nice to see you.
Congratulations. Yes.
I didn't know that was your daughter.
Oh,
wow.
Lord.
Congratulations.
Hey, guys,
this is
awesome. Okay, thank you. Congratulations. Wow. It's not your district. Get your hands off.
Good for
great.
Us.
Great. Nice to see you.
Thank you so much. You must nice to have us. You must have done such a good job. Oh, it's this one. Oh, good. I'm proud of her.
I love
you.
Five in a row.
College, it's nothing anymore. It's a dead end.
It is.
In a row.
It's awesome.
Okay, thank you, Council. Next item of business is an update on the Delaware Coastal Airport sign project. I wanted to provide Council a quick update on where we are with the upgrades to the Delaware Coastal Airport relating to the name change that we did previously this year. As you know, we changed the name to Delaware Coastal Airport, and as a result, we had to update these existing signs out to the airport facility. Most of that work has now been completed. We've changed the large outdoor sign that is located outside the EOC entering into the parking lot. We've changed the signs within the terminal building and added some features within the parking lot. All of that resembling the new name and logo. The next step would be to add an additional airport sign that would be located at the corner of Airport Road and Route 9 as you enter into Georgetown. This is a conceptual design of the sign from our vendor. We went through an RFP process to have the sign construction and design work done. We selected the company named Foreman Signs to do this particular sign based on the expense and the design and the artwork related to it. This sign will be located at the corner, like I mentioned. The property is actually owned by the Sussex Academy. I've had several discussions with board members of the Academy as well as some of the administration at the school, and we have a gentleman's agreement in place right now to locate the sign on their property as long as they would get some real estate on the sign as resembled by this conceptual, indicating that that is the location of their school. I've also had some preliminary discussions with the town of Georgetown because this property is within the town of Georgetown and would fall under their guidelines. We've not submitted anything as it relates to paperwork or application process. After today's presentation, that would be the next step. So really, it's simply an update and an illustration of the concept of what we would propose to go on that corner. And we would anticipate the work in the process to begin early next year, and I would think we could get to construction, assuming we get through some of the hurdles, by the spring of 16 and have that completed potentially in that time frame. I'll stop there and see if there's any questions. Comments?
Just Mr. President, Councilman Wilson is not here, so I will do it on his behalf. I presume that this is already budgeted, the cost?
That's correct.
And we're good on that?
That's correct. In this year's budget, the council approved funding for airport sign improvements, and that is within that budget line, yes.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Council?
Well, I hope it's not going to be one of those annoying electronic signs that blinks and does. It's not going to do that, is it?
We will have full control of the design, and once we have had the installation of the
I don't know what that means. Watch
type,
fire, I don't know.
That's just an example of the type of electronic sign that the company proposes to put in there.
Right. But it will be in good taste.
It will be fully controlled by us.
Good.
So with any of your recommendations, we will be able to monitor and keep the sign under complete control by the county.
I had to give you a hard time about it.
Sure.
Electronic signs.
And Mr. Arlette won't be able to use it like for his campaign,
no.
Future campaign stuff or anything like that?
There'll be the highest level of security.
Because he never stops campaigning.
Jeez.
Okay, thank you very much. Moving on to the administrator's report for December 15, 2015, item number one. Attached, please find the call statistics for the Fire and Ambulance Call Board for November 2015. There were 12,973 total calls handled for the month of November. Of those 911 calls, 77% were made from wireless phones. Item number two, per the attached engineering department fact sheet, Hopkins Pettijohn Subdivision, otherwise known as Red Mill Pond North, Phase 4 received substantial completion effective December 11th. And item number three, please note county offices will be closed on December 24th and 25th to celebrate the Christmas holiday and January 1st for the New Year's holiday. In addition, the county council will not meet December 22nd and December 29th. The next regularly scheduled meeting will be held on Tuesday, January 5th at 10 a.m. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mrs. Jennings.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. Today, I just want to give you an update on the Clean Water and Flood Abatement Task Force. The task force met on November 19th and is scheduled to meet Thursday, December 17th in Buena Vista. The task force met and began discussing the draft House bill called the Clean Water for Delaware Act. The copy of the act was in your packet. The act states that most of Delaware's waters do not meet the water quality standards for their designated uses, such as drinking water, swimming, and supporting fish and other aquatic life. Delaware's list of impaired waters include 377 bodies of water that suffer from excess nutrients, low dissolved oxygen, toxins, and bacteria. Extensive analysis of chemical contaminants in fish had led to the advisory that fish are unsafe to eat in more than 30 waterways statewide. Our next meeting, which is this Thursday, is to review the funding needs to meet the state's demands for clean water. The Act states that the public's interest is to establish a clean water trust fund to coordinate the available resources for drinking water, wastewater, stormwater, non-point source pollution reduction, toxics removal, and ecological restoration. And the reason I'm sitting on the committee is because there is a tax involved in it. So the tax for Sussex County is 0.2071 cents per $100 of assessed value, which is a minimum $45 per year to a maximum $85 per year. So our average single-family home would be charged the $45 minimum. In other words, 65% of our parcels will be charged the minimum, and the fee will generate over $8 million to the Clean Water Trust Fund just from Sussex County alone. And at this time, it is just an update.
And that means, I assume then, that everybody would pay this tax, even people who are in towns who pay for own sewer now would pay this tax.
That is correct.
People in our sewer districts would pay this tax.
Yes. There's a different formula, and even properties that were normally exempt, such as nonprofits, would also receive the tax as well.
And part-timers.
Yeah.
Does it say where the money goes?
So they're creating a trust fund. It's a separate fund that, knowing that this bill had, a similar bill was introduced last year, it was generating about $30 million statewide. And it would go to cleaning the waters that were listed there for stormwater, drinking water.
I mean, does a trust fund, is there any, like, documentation with the trust fund telling us what they can spend it on, what they can't spend it on, things different?
Yes.
I mean, there is spelled out pretty clearly?
It's listed in the bill. There is some talk in that bill that it could transfer to other funds of the WIAC and things like that.
The state and the federal government, a lot of places have been known to rob these trust funds, and this is there an ability to raid this trust fund, you think? You're the expert in money.
there is language in this bill that says that they could transfer funds to other needs. The needs are specifically listed as wastewater needs and things like that, but there are, I don't know how those funds could possibly distribute their money. So my concern is, once you transfer funds to another fund that could transfer funds
to another,
I don't know,
right? Keep transferring until it gets where they want.
But when there's language in a bill talking about it's able to transfer, that does, yes, make me nervous.
And is there any indication with this committee how it's being received?
I'll know more Thursday because with the last meeting that we had in November, they just introduced the bill. So we had not even gotten to the rate part of it at that point. So I will get more of a feeling this Thursday.
And who's on this committee again? I mean, just roughly what type of people?
There's representatives from state. There's county officials. There's one from each county. There's members from Tidewater, Etesian, this WIAC committee that
private
I'm talking
sector.
About. Private sector.
There are some people,
Etesian.
I mean, have had just citizens that aren't affiliated with any of this stuff?
No, I know the Farm Bureau is on there. There were some citizens sitting around the back. I don't think any of the people sitting around the table.
And what groups exempt? Farmers?
No, that's the problem.
Aren't exempt?
The way I read this, there's nobody exempt.
So a chicken house will pay?
Yes, and the Farm Bureau is well aware of it and is taking it back. And yes, that is correct. Has a maximum of $12,500 for their assessed value in the bill, but they're not exempt.
And there's no sunsetting. It just continues on $30 million a year, $30 million a year.
Yeah, there's actually a provision to increase it every year by the CPI.
That's not enough money.
Yeah, I have a question.
What are they going to do?
They'll spend it.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's a deal.
The commercial providers are involved.
Where, how?
Why would they be getting public money?
Well, they also serve the low income. They could possibly apply for this money. They're in there on the board saying there is a need. So
I hear that, but I don't know why, you know, we wouldn't be giving them public money unless it is, like you say, for low income people and that type of thing.
Correct.
To help them.
Correct.
I hope we make sure that's what that's for.
Right, and that's what the goal.
They charge a lot. Already. Okay, so good. That's great.
That is interesting that Tidewater or any Artesian can apply for some of this funding.
They can, absolutely.
So help subsidize their private enterprises.
Well, it does.
It's interesting.
Well.
I mean, it's the facts. It's, they can apply for
it. It's just like we did to make it affordable for.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yes, sir. I do. Of course, Mrs. Jennings. This has to be voted on out of Dover. Is that correct?
That's correct. Okay. Once the bill has not been introduced, obviously when they go into session in January, we meet again twice in January in hopes that they're hoping that the bill would be finalized so that it could be introduced.
So the premise, that, again, we're not going to go into long dissertation because we don't have the time, and we have many things on the agenda today, but just to summarize, if you would. So by the title in itself, Clean Water Act, who doesn't want clean water, correct? So therefore, one would presume that we do not have clean water in the state. Is that an accurate statement based on the need for this extra funding?
Right. I've asked Mr. Hans Medlar to be here to help me with those kinds of questions, but the EPA puts out regulations on how the water should be tested, and DENREC tests those waters, and there's 377 of those waters, whether they're not suitable for fishing or swimming, that deem these waters unsuitable.
So impaired. 377 examples of quote-unquote not good water. So do they know, is there a part of this discussion of what's causing this quote-unquote bad water?
I'll turn that part over to.
Come on down, sir.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Good morning, council members. Mr. Councilmember Ouellette, it all filters down from the Clean Water Act, which was passed by Congress in 1976. And it stipulates that all states have to establish lists of bodies of impaired water. That watershed assessment is done on a triennial basis. And it's predated by a number of tests DENREC runs. And the test for toxins, nutrients, you know, any kind of exceedances. And then it is listed based on what exceeds the water limits. So some may just be listed for bacteria, some may listed for PCBs, some may listed for nutrients, some may listed for a lot of them. And then the next step is you establish total maximum daily limits for each one of these water bodies. For example, the Inland Bays is probably the most famous one, having a long-established TMDL, which, based on the TMDL, pollution control strategies are set, and they are supposed to reduce the nutrient inflow to the inland bays. So that has now established been for all water bodies in Delaware, and most of them, the vast majority, have some or another impairment. And the intent is to use the trust fund to remedy and eventually delist all of the water bodies in the state. That's the intent. I'm not saying anything else.
I appreciate your very special word there, intent. I mean, in the end, I mean, obviously there appears to be this new regulation that is coming down the pike, I would say, and a new revenue source for the state of Delaware to figure out so they can figure out how to balance their budgets, and Transportation Trust Fund has also been not allocated for the roads in the state. So what makes us think that this trust fund is going to be earmarked for quote-unquote remedying the quote-unquote bad water we have? My other question that I would have is, what has DENREC been doing? If we have such bad water, then what are they doing? Where are they in this process to policing of the waters and hold others accountable for their wrongdoing? I mean, isn't that their role, DENREC?
Yes, that is their role, and they are very much involved. The Division of Watershed Stewardship is the one which runs all the testing, establishes the triennial lists based on the Clean Water Act of the federal EPA, and they're also doing the TMDLs. So they are the delegated agency from the EPA that does all that. By the way, once the TMDL, the total maximum daily load for a specific water body, is established, it goes up to EPA Region 3 for approval, and then only becomes effective once it is fully promulgated, which means non-appealable after EPA's approval. So when you have that, that is the delegated agency is very much in that mix. And that's why, you know, like you will see, they are certainly one of the sponsors, and they're on the at the table. The Secretary Small is one of the members. And they're certainly supporting this. Now, as you said, have they followed their responsibility? In 1999-98, EPA got sued by several environmental groups saying they did not enforce the states rigorously, that the states would establish these total maximum daily loads. And that big lawsuit in the late 90s actually triggered the enforcement of the Clean Water Act federally. So what you're seeing here is a fallout, trickle-down effect 15 years later of these kind of legal actions. Because, yes, DNREC was probably not at the forefront, and Delaware did not have a lot of, let's say, listings, watershed assessments done. However, now I think the state of Delaware is one of the best states in terms of watershed assessment compliance. So, and a lot of times I heard Secretary Small say, the better you get, the more impaired water bodies you find. You know, like let's say if you're in Wyoming and you haven't done half of them, how do you know they're impaired or not impaired? So in that sense, you said, have they done their job? I think they've done their job maybe too well, because we know so much about it. So all of the water bodies in Delaware have been tested. 99% of the TMDLs have been established. So they're well ahead of compliance. And you know, now we're in the area where we have to find ways to fix the impairment. Mm-hmm. And as I said, mm-hmm. the intent is that, and I'm not going into there endorsing or denying it. Mm-hmm. Now, you asked before, how do we know that it's done right? If you look at the Water Infrastructure Council, their guidelines on how projects are ranked, and Mr. Ashman certainly knows that, because all of our projects in Sussex receive the same ranking, then we end up on the project priority list, and we get on the intended use plan for that particular year. This will follow the same approach. Now, what Councilman Cole alluded to, once you transfer the funds around a couple times, maybe that control is lost, but that's why Ms. Jennings is on the board, on the task force, to make sure that the legislation reflects the intent that it's really to be used where it's supposed to be used.
Thank you for that.
I just what I'm reading here, Hans, is the it starts out they want to take care of the fish and the, you know, and the streams and the water, you know, the watersheds, but then you hear about where the funding is going to be helpful to, you know, the water and sewer projects and I guess and other things, and you just wonder how much will be directed to actually fixing the streams and find, you know, focusing on that. Or are they just going to have another pot of money for, say, some of the private sector or even the county, maybe to go and find some money for sewer projects and water projects, and the streams and all that stuff are still
The projects are supposed to meet the two. If you look at the big picture, the Clean Water Act of the United States and the Safe Drinking Water Act, both of these were projects which would qualify. Mm-hmm. So, for example, impairment of the inland bays can be fixed by funding best management practices for aquaculture. That's the definite, can be funded. Funding large-scale septic remediation can be funded. Now, I also see their flood control, you know, that has very little to do with water quality. So that will not do very much, if anything, for delisting impaired water bodies.
But they qualify for so the funding?
They do, so that's why I say I'm standing before you here knowing a lot about this, and personally I feel very strongly about water quality, and this seems to be a bill directed towards water quality, mm-hmm. but it does have that flood abatement component, mm-hmm. which can, and you and I know, can eat up a lot of money without having significant water quality aspects. So coming back to Councilman Lawlett's question, if we do a $20 million flood control project with very little water quality aspects, how have we helped the rivers and streams of the state of Delaware? And I would like to leave it here.
Sure.
We can go on and on.
One last comment, Mr. President. And thank you, Hans, truly, because, but I will say, Ms. Jennings, I'm sure everybody else would probably be agreeable to this, but I would love to be able to see in this quote-unquote new bill to put a property tax on our residents without our true input as a council, which, number one, I don't think is a good thing, which is very problematic. But the other part of this, I would see it as there should be a lockbox on any trust fund that the state has. Therefore, they have no authority. They shall not transfer those dollars out of that to be used for something else. So that would be something I think would be really very relevant, because there's a history already there from other trust funds that have been reallocated for other sources, other things, other than its original intent. So, thank you, Mr. President.
A lot of our water from private wells is coming up with nitrates in it, and they can be corrected, from what I understand, from private companies. It can be corrected with a reverse osmosis system, but that sounds a little bit expensive. I wonder if any of those might be, cost of those might be included. We have this nitrates all over the county, in our water, all over the county. Mm-hmm. So has it have any discussion about that?
Councilwoman Diwa, as I said before, the overarching qualification is one of the two, is the Safe Drinking Water Act. So it applies to public water systems. A private well would not fall under a public water system, so it would not be a eligible funding cost. However, the remediation of a large-scale failing groundwater supply would be. So you could see, let's say, to bring on a number of individuals on a central water system in order to achieve safe drinking water would be an eligible project.
Yeah, we only have one outlet for water, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And to say, to answer one of your previous comments, if I may, and in the sense of time, 30 seconds. If a private entity applies for the funds under the Water Infrastructure Council's discretion, actually the Secretary's discretion because it's a recommendation, they are currently eligible for loans only under special circumstances, such as you said, when there's issues with the rates, they're eligible for grants. But the vast majority are only eligible for loans, and they have to repay them.
My experience has been that they are not interested in cooperating with lower rates for people with the low income. That's my experience with them, so.
I will not comment on that.
Well, yeah. Yeah, so I think they should do their part, actually. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ron.
Thank you, Ron.
Appreciate it.
Okay, Mr. Moore, we're time for 10:30 public hearing.
Yes.